It's the Disney Villains League semifinals. Dr. Facilier versus the Headless Horseman. Mordu versus Scar. Claude Frollo versus Syndrome. It's Second City and Saw 3's Marty Adams leading his squad of baddies called Boogity Knights. And he's up against Second City alum and the co-star of Bit Players on Prime. It's Nigel Downer and his team Dis, a.k.a. Downer's Injustice Society of Sinisterlies. So strap in, Diz nerds, because this evil fun begins right here on the We Like Theme Parks
Podcast. Hey, man, that's my gimmick.
So sorry. Is it really, though? Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, Mark. God, I beat you to that just like I beat you last time.
Unreal. I'm logging off.
He loses 1 point for that, right?
Point deducted.
We present a spectacular festival of theme park audio commentary magic. Do We Like Theme Parks Podcast?
Yo. Bring it back now.
Welcome, foolish mortal.
We like theme parks.
Welcome, my fellow theme parkers, to the We Like Theme Parks podcast, your go-to spot for news, opinions, and other nerdy fun happenings in and around the Disney and Universal theme parks. I'm Chris Bond, Disney Villains League Commissioner and Judge today. Ooh, surprise. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Disney Bounder, theme park fashionista, and soon-to-be semi-finalist in the Disney Blogger Division from the Churro Fund. It's Miriam Kenley. Miriam, what's happening?
Probably soon to be finalist, too. Oof, you know?
I love that confidence.
Gene, coming for you.
Yes. Ooh, Gene, look out. She's on fire. It's going to happen. That's our next Villains League match. Look for it. And we're also joined by comedian and Disnerd and the 2019 Villains League champ. Now, former champ, it's our good friend, Mark Andrada. Hey, Mark.
What do you want?
Ooh, just what? Happy you're here, buddy, you know?
Are you?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Because when you were hosting that, you were the commissioner of my battle there, and you really, you made me lose.
No, you just lost.
I think the listeners, no, how dare you?
Well, the judges, I wasn't a judge then, you know?
Yeah, but you swayed the judges. You were trying to tell the judges to.
I just lay out some facts. I lay out some facts. Judges do what they, judge is going to judge. What do you want from me, man? We got an amazing, Mark is so bitter. Oh, I love it. Okay, so we have a great show today. We have some amazing guests. So let's get right to this incredible match. So strap in, Diz nerds. Buckle up, because it's Villains League. Welcome, ghosts and ghouls, to the 2021 Disney Villains League. Here, dastardly demons and malicious meanies will join forces and engage in a battle royal of badness. 8 squads of evildoers have entered, but only one can reign supreme and rule the underworld. And it's all happening right here in the Disney Villains League. Tonight, 2 salacious squads from the Disney Comedians Division will clash, and the winner will become the Disney Comedians Conference Champion and will move on to the Disney Villains League Final. The loser, well, in the words of Caballeros, Panchito Pistoles, adios, amigos, because it's sudden death time and it's Villains League. Now, not only do we have all these amazing guests, but usually we introduce them first, but today we're going to change it up. We're going to introduce our guest judges today. And we have an amazing panel who are going to weigh in and pick today's winners. And the first is one of our favorite peeps. From We Like Theme Parks to Puppets, our Muppety Muse, it's Disney Park Mark, Mark Rose Rosales. Rosie, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, pals. Thanks for having me back. I really am looking forward to this round, and I'm looking forward to see what these squads have to offer. I'm looking forward to see what Marty has to say. This is really looking forward to it. I'm really excited. Again, you guys, thanks so much for having me back.
Well, Rosie, we loved you as a judge. You were very literal, which we really dug. You had a lot of background, which we also really dug. So we're like, we gotta get Rosie back in here, man. He knows his stuff. He can... help us out a little bit. So thanks for joining us today, Rosie. Really appreciate it. But not only is Rosie here being a judge, we also have one of our favorite peeps of all time. We're talking about our number one fan. She's got all her sharp wit and her Disney-nerdy brains. It's super fan and Tron lover like moi. It's our friend Tinker J, a.k.a. Jeanette.
Hello, hello, hello. Yes, I am quite ready. I have my judgy pants on today.
Perfect.
And so I'm excited because I'm on the show for the first time with Rosie and Marty.
Yay!
Yay! We had a lot of faves.
I just like
today.
Meeting all the friends.
Oh, that's it feels so like I know all of you, but just in a puppet form, so it's kind of bizarre for me.
Right?
I'm watching the screen with these different faces, and it's just not connecting. So I have to look behind me to see these puppets that I have kind of displayed behind me.
To remind you, I love it. You know what's funny? Mark mentioned this the other day. The We Like Theme Parks family just continues to grow. We have all these beautiful friends that we love that come on here. Yeah. We appreciate them, but they're super talented and amazing. So just a shout out for you to you guys. You guys are awesome.
Most of them are great. Hey, you know, I mean, all they're all great, except, and then there's Marty. Is the problem. That's what I'm trying to say.
All right. Well, hey, rounding
you're
out.
You're on mute, Marty. You're on mute. Marty's trying to say something to me. He's on mute.
He's waiting to be introduced. Classic. All right, rounding out the panel of judges is actually the entire crew of the We Like Theme Parks podcast. It's Miriam. It's me, Bondo, and it's the former champ, Mark. That rounds out your panel of judges. Yes, five judges. Ooh, things just getting bigger and badder here on the Disney Villains League. But let's meet our competitors, because tonight we have a matchup for the ages. Friends turn frenemies. Joining us tonight is the co-star of Saw 3, Second City comedian and Halloween Megamind. It's fan favorite Marty Adams and his team, Boogity Nights. Marty, what's happening?
So great to be back, Chris. And Chris, I'm so sorry. You said it was Saw 3 last episode, and I'm not one to correct
you. Oh, no. What is it?
It's Saw 4, but let me just say, they all bleed together like a wonderful Cobb salad.
I think I've been saying...
Don't even fret about it.
I think I've been saying Saw 3 for about 2 years. I really do.
You also say co-star, so I mean, you know.
Well, that's...
There's a lot of fibbing going on.
I was giving you a lift. I was giving you some love there, right?
Yeah, I need it, believe you me. But I don't need it today. You know why, folks? I've already packed my bags and got my ticket to the finals. I'm looking past Nigel. And, man, the finals looks great. I'm going to get sized for my suit. I think it's great. You know, I can't wait to hear what Nigel has to say about it.
Is there a dress code at the Villains League final? I didn't know.
Well, you know, I was there last time, and there was not. And speaking of which, hey, former champ Mark, how do you like having former in front of that that moniker?
I hate you so much. I hate you.
Well, friends,
it won't affect your judging, I hope.
We got to keep this going. Let's introduce Marty's foe today. So Marty's going to be going toe-to-toe was Second City alum and the co-star of Bit Players, which is on Prime, CBC Gem in Canada. It's our good friend, it's Nigel Downer and his team called Dist.
I'm going to tell you one thing. He got those credentials correct. And you know what? I drafted last. And now I am in the semifinals of this Villains League. And guess what? I started from the bottom and now I am here. I'm feeling business. I am wearing my stealth mode Captain America Hot Topic exclusive hat on. And I am ready. The audacity of Marty Adams to come up in here and give me so much grief about how he's gonna wear something nice for the championship. Man, he doesn't know who he's up against. I got a purple blazer in the closet just waiting to come out. Let's go. This.
That is Downer's Injustice Society of Sinisterlies. It's Dis, and Nigel Downer is in the house. Nigel, welcome to Villains League. We're so happy.
Oh, man.
To have
you. Bondo, thanks for having me back, man. Kids, it's so nice to see everybody. I know seeing something is great for a podcast. So it's nice to hear everybody's voices. How about that?
Aw. See, look at this guy. Different energy than Marty completely. I'm going to kick your butt. Hey, so nice to see our friends. What a great time. Well, let's keep this party going. So let's check out the rules. And here are the rules. Now, each team will present a villain from each of five evil categories. And they are magical meanies, demons, and other dead stuff, monsters, beasts, and ill-tempered animals, really terrible human people, cruel cronies, and very evil pets. Now, each round, Nigel and Marty will have an opportunity to tell how their villain would overtake the other villain, and our panel of five whole judges, will tell us what actually happened and select a winner. And remember, the judges' decisions are final. What they say goes, and that is it. Now, who will reign supreme and continue down the road to greatness? Time to find out. So for the seven of us on this Zoom and the millions listening on this podcast,
let's get ready to rumble!
Okay, let's get this party started. It's going to be our first matchup, and this is the Magical Meanies, Demons, and Other Dead Stuff, Dr. Facilier for Dis, and Marty with the Headless Horseman. Wow. Now, which one of you gentlemen would like to lead things off? I thought, you know, you're both awesome. We don't have an ex-champ or the whole ladies first. It's two gentlemen. Who would like to just be courageous and jump in and go first?
We should flip a coin because that's probably the only time Nigel's going to win tonight. Oh, that was fun.
Wow.
Ow. Fun what I just said.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Let me grab my two-face coin because that way I'll win either way.
Well, I'll pick the scratchy side. The scratchy side is the one I want.
I feel like I feel like Marty just earned himself going first. Yeah, I feel like.
Oh, come on!
Thank you,
Marty. If you will,
fine, I'll go first.
All right, let's talk Headless Horseman.
Oh man, you guys, Headless Horseman, coolest killer in all of Disney, only villain to actually win. Come on, folks. He's batting 1,000. No one's beat. All the other villains, they lose. They get beat. Facilier gets killed. He gets dragged back to the underworld and has a really weird tombstone with his face going, boom. Technically, Headless Horseman is a phantom. You can't defeat a phantom. He cuts people's heads off and then takes them.
Yikes.
Facilier, what? He goes, hey, man, can I have a little droplet of blood? I'm going to put in this weird little token thing, and then now you're a frog. And then we'll see what happens. Spoiler alert, nothing happens. The Headless Horseman leads the Boo to You parade. Is Facilier even invited to the Boo to You parade? I believe not. I think he sings in the Sanderson.
I think he's in it.
Okay, sorry. I must have missed it because there was probably something cool before and or after it.
Thanks. We punch in Marty's face. There we go.
Thank you. And look at this fun little thing. I get him and his evil horse, and they are a package deal, so it's like a two for one. I have a magical villain and a beast or an ill-tempered animal. That's two against Facilier. And I have some things to say about Facilier, but I don't want to tear Nigel down now. I'm nice in the first round, so Nigel can build him up, and then I'll tear him down.
So, Marty, I got to ask, are you using the same notes from last week?
Mostly.
Like the same 5 points.
Look, I didn't add in the Facilier Boo to You parade last time because I wasn't against Facilier. So, look, I have to, they're good points. Bullet points.
Right on. Good start.
I won the first round when Mark was judge, so I'm sure it'll work again.
Okay.
I was robbed.
Well, let's send things over to Nigel then. Nigel, we're talking about Dr. Facilier. How is Dr. Facilier going to take care of business with the Headless Horseman?
Listen, man, we're talking about a dude with no head.
Mm-hmm.
Where's his brains at? Where's his smarts at? Where's it at? Oh, I forgot, in his armpit, because he likes to hold his head under his arm. Is that right? Is that right? How smart can you think when you're sniffing your own phantom stink? Okay, you can't, man. Okay, Facilier not only has his head on straight, but he's got a real dapper top hat on to boot. Okay, now listen, Marty, you tried to bring in some fashion and you tried to bring in an animal to this race. Listen, bro, what is this, 1816? Is this Pride and Prejudice? Nobody cares about you jumping on a horse. Okay, go on and get your own Netflix channel or show if you want, all right? People maybe they'll watch that, but nobody cares about a headless horseman, all right? Oh, yes, you're right. He lived. He is the only villain that lived. Hey, man, shout out to you. Kudos to you. But you know what? Facilier is immortalized in that tombstone. And yes, is his face wonky? Uh-huh. But guess what? Brother looks good in stone anyway. You want to know why? Because black don't crack. I know I'm an to tell you another thing. Okay, this guy, you're trying to come with he ain't in the Boo to You parade, and guess what? Three out of the five judges were like, no, he's in it. So that's on you. And don't even try to hit me up with this whole like, oh, he pricks you and you get your blood, and then is that scary? Do you know how many people are scared of needles? Do you know how many people are unvaccinated because they're scared of needles?
Oh, other can of worms. I love it.
It is. And guess what? I'd said it anyway. People don't want to get pricked and they don't want their blood out there because then Facilier has got you. And because you are just made out of some kind of gas, I mean, hey, I don't have to do anything. You're already a platter served cold. Okay, I'm already going to give you what you want, which is a head on your shoulders. I'm going to make you feel like the man you used to be. Yeah. And you're going to love every minute of it. And then I'm going to take it all away. And I'm going to look better on that horse.
Okay, so Nigel, let's illustrate how this is going to shake down. I love the threats. I'm feeling those threats. How is he actually going to accomplish this? How is Dr. Facilier going to take down the Headless Horseman?
I have Facilier. Facilier has one particular ghost. He has one particular being, which I do not have. We know that. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. You know what we also have, what Facilier also has? Mm-hmm. He does have everybody else from the other side.
Sure.
He can do their bidding. He doesn't need his own. He can do their bidding. So what he does is he gets his troop from the other side, and they can all wrangle the Headless Horseman into whatever situation he needs to. He'll make him delirious.
This is a numbers thing you're saying. So it's purely numbers is what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. It's like a, you know, cloak and dagger. You know what I mean? It's a lot of smoke and mirrors, you know, mm-hmm. trying to get the horseman into a lovely place. You know, he'll look like a prince. That's mm-hmm. probably what he wants to be, is a prince. And unfortunately, he got no head.
He's got a pumpkin, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Yes, he has a vegetable. Right.
Come on.
Right. My bad.
So what you're saying,
to clarify something that you said, that he was made of gas. From the last time that we had this conversation about the Headless Horseman, we kind of determined that it was made of Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
So I think
I'm going to erase that and start fresh.
We're starting fresh. This is a whole new day, Rosie.
We did establish that the Headless Horseman is in fact Huey, Dewey, and Louie in a trench coat.
And you know the funny thing about that, Mark?
Situation.
Funny thing about that is, Mark, you lost even with Huey, Dewey, and Louie in a cloak.
I don't think I lost that round though. So
I'm pretty sure you did. Hey, look, may I comment on what that guy just said?
Well, let me see if I can just bridge a little bit here, Marty. But
sure.
So hold that thought. So Nigel, what you're saying is that it's the friends from the other side that are essentially just going to come down on the Headless Horseman and just drag him kind of into the fiery pits of the other side, essentially.
Absolutely. Very colorful fiery pits of the other side, if I do recall. And, you know, Facilier will facilitate and make the horseman feel like he's important, feel like he's valued, and feel like that lone villain who survived all over again, right, only to be shrouded in the shadows from the other side that will take him, leave his head,
right,
but take his body and the horse. No, they'll leave the horse too, into the other side.
So he'll trick him and lure him and bait him into something.
Absolutely.
And then whoosh, he just gets, trampled on by these spirits.
Can I ask a question that
Please.
Might ride on both sides of this battle?
Mm-hmm.
So he's a phantom. Yes, phantom. Shadows right. in the other side, right? Are they one and the same? Are they different? Could one control the other, vice versa? Like, can
really
they drag
question.
Him back and he can just go back because he's, can they slip around like that? I don't know. Are they related? He's very shadowy for a phantom, I suppose, right?
I mean, that's a really good point, and I agree with you. And thank you for helping me make my case. They're exactly similar, only the Headless Horseman can also cut off people's heads and take them. The shadow people just kind of grab people and pull them to hell. And if they did that to the Headless Horseman, he'd be like, yeah, cool. That was cute. But I'm going to go back out. I'm going to cut off more heads. Mm. And then maybe I'll come back and visit you a bit because I can go both ways.
Right.
That's with the friends on the other side in the shadows. But what about the spell casting side of Facilier? Like what type of spells would that be, encompassing? because that in alone is pretty powerful. I mean, the right spell could even deter the Headless Horseman from even reaching you.
He still has regular voodoo.
Well,
he still has regular old voodoo.
Yeah, well, too. Rosie and Jeanette, thank you. That was actually my counterpoint. If you nullify the shadows, then you do have Facilier, the man who has the voodoo, who has the spirit, who has that ancient magic that can really turn things dark on his own accord. Too.
He's royalty, you know, so he's royalty of a voodoo lineage. So,
on his mother's side. On his mother's side, and that's it. It's not double royalty.
He's got things he hasn't even tried. Does that include vanquishing Phantom?
Well, let me tell you what he...
Huey and Louie?
That's a good point, Miriam. Let me tell you what he doesn't have on his side. Shall we, folks? Let's just say, look, Dr. Facilier is a super cool, creepy villain when he's at full strength. But I have 50% of Dr. Facilier's strength because I have Dr. Facilier's shadow on my team. He's weak now. Why did I do that, you ask? Because I knew I'd be going against Nigel in the second round, and he waited two rounds after he picked Facilier, and I said, really, Nigel? Okay, and I took Facilier.
It's not actually what happened.
Three rounds? Was it two?
It was less. He went before. I got a chance.
And now the chickens have come home to roost, because let me tell you, I can use his shadow against him. Without his shadow, he's just a crummy street busker doing wacky card tricks.
That is wrong. That
he still has a little bit of magic behind him outside of the shadow.
And how
it
dare
might not
you
be
call
as
him
wrong, but I think it's still exists.
How dare you call him a busker? Are you out of your mind?
Hey, hold on now. I've got a lot of friends who are buskers. Let's keep this civil, everybody.
And that's fine. Yeah. I'm just saying that Dr. is not a busker, my friend.
What has he got a PhD in? Voodoo?
And voodoo, probably.
Okay, but where did he go to university?
He went to Tulane, which is in New Orleans. Shout out to the Green Wave.
Okay, let's bridge back to Marty for a second. We were having a lot of barbs, we're having a lot of fun, but I still haven't heard what the Headless Horseman is going to do to Dr. Facilier. How is he going to defeat Dr. Facilier?
Absolutely. Let me first just say, look, in this game, I'm playing chess, Nigel's playing checkers, because when we drafted the characters, I knew I would need Facilier's shadow to defeat Facilier because he's so strong. Mm-hmm. Chess, checkers, let's move on. This is what happens. So Facilier goes, hey, my friend, step over here, pick a card. And as he pulls out the cards, Facilier's shadow attacks Facilier, and he goes, why, my friend? Why? Oh, right, you don't belong to me anymore. And then the Headless Horseman goes, chill out, shadow, I don't need you. And he lops off Facilier's head. And it'll still have a stupid look on his face, the same one that's etched in his tombstone. And then the Headless Horseman will bounce it around a bit, play a little basketball in the Tulane basketball court, shoot a three. He'll hold his hand up there. And before it goes in, he'll call game. The end.
All right.
I love that. You love
it. Nigel loved it.
Only because I'm like, Marty doesn't know how basketball works.
He's captain of my midget basketball team 2 years in a row, sir.
Okay. All right. So we heard how these guys are going to defeat each other. Judges, does anybody have any questions before we get into settling who won this battle?
I have a question. There was talk about the Headless Horseman carrying his head around and, you know, the fact that he's decapitated. Facilier also carries a head around, you know, but it's the head of his mother. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a shrunken head version of his mother when he talks about that he's royalty. He pulls it up and actually shows it to you. And I think carrying around the head of your mother is a little bit more punk rock than a pumpkin.
Where's the question there, Rosie?
So the question would be if it's based off of the scare factor, like the creepy factor, opinions from either one of you, which one of those two do you think is the most villainous?
Look, I would love Marty to answer, but we all know he doesn't have to. It's obviously carrying your mother's head. It is his mother's head, bruh. His mother, that is true love. in the most sincerest, creepiest form. I mean, the you only
know,
other
you,
person
you
that's
know
like,
who else carried around a piece of their mother with them? Ed
yep,
Gein.
I was.
That's who carried around.
Ed Gein. Who did? Who did?
Ed Gein.
Oh. He's a dark man. Look him up. Use Google.
Based off of Leatherface was based off of him. Come on, Nigel. You don't know these things? Jeanette, I'm with you. I think it'll work well for
no,
me.
No, I don't because Leatherface, I believe, is he's in the horror genre. And we all know that brothers die first in horror movies. Why am I going to watch those?
All right. Enough joking aside. Rosie, I appreciate that question. Let me ask you something. Now, is it his mother's full head or is it a shrunken head? Because let me tell you, if someone's chucking a shrunken head at me, I just kind of go, what the hell is that? Is that some kind of petrified wood? I can't even tell. But you know when someone's throwing a flaming evil pumpkin at you and it crushes
you. Oh, yeah. You're right. It's this giant orange orb coming at you. You know, the last time I laughed at a pumpkin that was thrown at me was probably the last time I saw, I don't know, Spider-Man in 2001.
That didn't have a pumpkin face. It just had a little bit of orange and green.
Well, yeah, same thing.
All right.
Well, I think that question helped me figure out my answer. Thank you.
Okay,
very much.
Very well.
Oh, in like a pro me way, Rosie.
Okay. Any other judges have any questions before we get to voting?
One more. So I forget the last time the Headless Horseman went around and we talked about the whole bridge thing. Did we decide that was just a moot point in these battles?
It's a moot point.
He's just effective.
Yeah, okay. He is at the, okay. Both of these characters are at the height of their powers. So right, wherever that may be. All right. So let's get to voting. And why don't we start with Jeanette? Jeanette, you've got the Headless Horseman. You've got Dr. Facilier. Both of these guys are evil dudes carrying around heads. They're bad. Which one can defeat the other in a street fight?
I genuinely believe that the Headless Horseman doesn't have a ton of drive. And when he does, it's on one person. And that one person in the movie was a scared, scrawny little man. Mm-hmm. While Facilier is thin, I don't think he's scrawny necessarily in his means. I also feel like the shadows could chase the horseman wherever he goes. Again, whether the bridge was a point or not, I think somehow they could be tied together. So I'm voting Facilier here.
I one point for Facilier. Shadow, folks. The whole point about his shadows. I'm
sorry, but
you have just his shadow.
Yeah, is the shadow. Yeah, but is that shadow fighting in this battle right now, Marty?
You know what?
Sorry, judges. Carry on.
To quote Mark Andrada, it's not just the shadow, it's all of shadows.
No.
For him, okay. It won him the whole thing. No. Oh, I hate this.
It's very different.
Marty knows his history. He's going back. It was a point that was used. Okay, well, let's keep going. Let's swing on over to Rosie. Rosie seems to know which way he's going. Rosie, who is it?
It really came down to the head that they're carrying around. And when Marty even acknowledged that the head of the mother had become shrunken, which means it's been carried around for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. So I think that Facilier's got my vote just for that creep factor of holding on to mom for so long, for the fact that it can shrink to that size, and the whole, you know, glowing orb pumpkin from Spider-Man.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, listen, thank you, Rosie. Also, a little note, to shrink a head, I don't know if you guys are up to date on your National Geographic, but it's a process, okay? It takes a very long time to get to that point.
And presumably, right? He did it.
Exactly.
Oh, we are not to presume that. And let me tell you something. He might have been good at shrinking heads, but he wasn't good at killing the main protagonists.
Hey, he's still a doctor. Oh, he's still a doctor.
He went to Tulane. He didn't even get a scholarship. He had to pay full freight. He had to work in the lunchroom.
That's true.
Okay.
Both of those things are true.
Sounds like that's another point for Dr. Facilier. Nigel's
can we
up to nothing.
Can we go to Mark last, just because I know he's not going to vote for
you know
me,
what? I'm gonna go ahead and go next, because I feel like I got to straighten out some of my co-judges here. This is about who will win, not who has the creepier head, not who I think is more scary looking. This is about who would beat the other person. So let me put that out there as we continue this competition.
Thank you.
Dr. Facilier is a person. Headless Horseman is an undead faculty. The guys on the other side, I would presume, are the same thing that the Headless Horseman already is. Unless Dr. Facilier could turn the Headless Horseman into a person and kill him. But that wasn't brought up by Nigel. It wasn't a strategy. I believe that Dr. Facilier is a human. I think Ghost with Blade trumps human. I give my vote to Marty and the Headless Horseman, without a doubt.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there, yeah, because I do believe I said that I would make the Headless Horseman feel like he was a prince or pretend that he was a prince. I feel like I said
Sure, but not human. He never said human, right? So that's the thing.
A prince phantom? I mean, we're human. In the Disney universe, right?
Make so we all know what a prince would be. Human body bag person.
Oh, meat okay. Bag. Okay,
he's
Christopher.
He's not. Okay.
Okay.
Wow. Listen, I tried to lead a horse to water for you, Nigel. You didn't get there, and that's fine. Wow. I'm being a judge now, and I'm holding it down. This is about who would win, not who you think is cooler, not who's more popular, not who's more scary looking. Who would beat who in a fight? Headless Horseman. I'll give myself another one of these. Boom.
You know, Chris, right. Can I just say thank you very much for your opinion? And also, Jeanette and Rosie, thank you for yours. I believe the judges have a difficult job. I would never going to rag on the judges for their decisions.
So please set it up. We're the worst.
So I vote for you and stand up for you, and you kiss butt on the other judges. This is classic Marty Adams. Classic Marty Adams. Okay, let's keep moving. Why don't we go and we'll do Marty a solid here. Let's go to Miriam. We'll leave Mark to the end if Mark is even necessary.
I'm not fully decided yet, so I would like Mark to make his choice.
Very well. Let's swing on over to Mark then. Mark, who do you like?
Here's the thing, just to address a point you made, Chris, about like who would win, because we were talking about heads and it did feel like we were kind of sidetracked, but we're talking about the power and the cunning and the skill that Dr. Facilier has to shrink a head, and not just any head, his mother's head. You know, that's pretty treacherous. That's evil, evil stuff. And then on the other side, we've got a pumpkin. Which, unless you're Billy Corgan, you're probably not, you know, it's not a scary or thrilling thing at all. I think that Nigel made all of the stronger points. I think absolutely Dr. Facilier would win this. However, if I give this to Nigel, then my loss to Marty looks even worse for Marty.
Wow. Anything can happen in the Villains League. Wow. So spite comes back to rear its flaming pumpkin head.
I can't look this way. You know what I mean? I can't have Marty can't lose now. That's going to be so embarrassing for me.
Well, but not by your hand
what
anyway.
What about if I won and I'm carrying that torch for you? I'm battling for you, man.
You make a good point, and I'll think about this for a little bit.
All right, the judges are final, and we've got four votes in. It's a tie to all. Miriam is going to break that tie. Miriam, who do you like? Is it Dr. Facilier or is it the Headless Horseman?
I think I have to go with voodoo and hoodoo and things we haven't even tried. I think magic wins, and he would find a way to get rid of that phantom.
Yeah,
he's made deals with friends from the other side for who knows how long. He seems infinite, so it's Dr. Facilier for me.
Dr. Facilier with the point, and the round goes to Nigel to diss.
Look, I gotta say something here, folks. What's the point of the draft if you're drafting other characters to help you be more powerful that are in your own world? When someone steals them, they should be able to be used against them. This was not, they're not battling. They're not battling, bro.
It was a hard decision, but had Nigel actually had Facilier Shadow, I don't think it would have been a decision at all.
Exactly.
You weakened him, but you didn't defeat.
Yeah, because I feel like there's still...
It was a hard decision.
Even though they do work together, they are still separate entities, and Facilier, the doctor, has his powers that I believe he can call upon.
Which he uses to do the bidding of other people, and the Headless Horseman just does what he wants. Good point. All right, let's move on to the next round.
Okay, let's...
I know the listeners at home will be writing in their letters. They've already penned them.
Yeah, they're thanking me in that victory. You're right.
All right, let's keep cruising. This is Monsters, Beasts, and Ill-Tempered Animals. This is round two, and we're going to have Nigel go first this time. It's Scar up against Mordu, the demon bear. So, Nigel, why don't you kick things off? Scar is, he's awesome. I mean, he's of legend as far as Disney villains go. Who is this guy all about, and how is he going to take care of Mordu?
Okay, first and foremost, I want to say this. Upon reviewing the matchups that were happening today. Mm-hmm. This is by far my favorite.
Ooh.
I do like the Facilier, like Headless Horseman, but for some reason, the look of Scar and the look of Mordu are both so similar and so sinister. And they both have, you know, that scar above one of their eyes, which shows how they have tried to be thwarted and they will not. They will find a means to survive. Mm-hmm. They're both vicious animals. However, one can talk and one can't.
Right.
The thing is, Scar is making sure you know what his plan is. He rallies the troops. This man, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. This man killed this lion killed his fam. He let his older brother go down to the herd. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, yes, I've said it before. We've all watched it. Upon watching it again, do you know how scary it is to watch him look him in the eye and say, long live the king? Oh, get out of here. No truer words have ever been said by a villain that is still haunting me to this day, that is still haunting millions and millions of children from the 90s to this day. We all know who Scar is. Mm-hmm. Scar in the final battle. Listen, Marty, I know you loved your wrestling. And in this final battle with Simba, Scar dashes some ashes, just like throwing powder at another opponent, blinding this person. Blinding Simba and attacks with his claws again. Scar is a vicious man. He's got a herd with him. Do they turn on him? Yes, they do, but he's got a herd with him. He's got those hyenas. They're not with him right now, but he's got those hyenas. Scar knows what's up. Okay, Scar's vicious. Don't mess with him. He'll talk to you about it, and then he'll take your life.
Okay, yeah, looking out for Scar. Now, how is Scar going to take that life, Nige?
Here's the thing. The two will go eye to eye. They'll go toe to toe. Mm-hmm. But Scar is so nimble. He's a thinner lion. He's very fast. Yes, you're right. Mordu is a large bear. Yes, he's a cool black bear. We get it. But you know what? Scar's nimble. Scar can use his environment. The bear can only do so much. When's the last time you saw a bear climb a tree?
Bears climb trees all the time. So
how long does it take them?
Not that long. Bears are.
That's right. And you know how fast a lion will do it? A lion won't do it because it doesn't have to.
I don't know.
A lion will attack you from the ground.
Okay.
Scar will get there, man. Scar will get there. The bear's too heavy. It's too big. It's strong, but it's too big. Scar, whap, before you know. Scar is a cat at the end of the day. You know how many times a cat can punch you before you can blink? I'll send you a TikTok video.
All right. So he's just going to straight up, like, with using his speed and his agility.
Speed, agility, his gift of gab. Mm-hmm. It would just confuse Mordor. He's a big lumbering bear. And you know what? Scar is so tricky. He'll probably have some honey on deck, you know, some berries, you know, strew those about. I mean, Mordor, he's, at the end of the day, I mean, he's not that far removed from Baloo, you know?
Get him singing a tune. All right. Well, Marty, with that, that's a lot to take in being compared to Baloo. Nice. Tell me about Mordu and how he might not be like Baloo and how he can take down Scar.
Well, I mean, Nigel makes a good point. He is like Baloo. If Baloo ate babies, this demon bear is pure evil, folks. Can't be reasoned with. Scar will come up and go, let me sing you a talk song because Jeremy Irons can't actually sing. Hey, Mordu, don't do that. Come over here and eat this bat. And Mordu will go, oh, and you got some honey for me there? You know what I eat? I eat babies and family members. Now, Scar may have killed his brother by, like, pushing his hands off a cliff, but Mordu ate his brothers and his nephews. You know what happened to Scar's nephew? He bungee pumped him off him. Into a pit where hyenas were like, we're just going to kill you. And he's like, oh, okay. You know what would have happened if Mordu was in that pit? Those hyenas would be like, ha, 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 we're going to kill you. And then they'd look at him and he'd just kind of go, really? And they go, no, cool. We're cool. We're cool. We're cool. We're cool. And then they just walk away and he'd go, maybe I'll eat a couple of you. So I would like to present to each judge, because I feel like I like how they judge. So I'd like to address how their judging has gone so far. So Rosie, I'd like to say you're very much about the looks of a creature, which is great. Scar looks like he hasn't eaten in a while, you know, has a, you know, very skin and bones. Yes, he does have a scar over his right eye, but his eye's fine. Cause you know, he probably like winced at the last second and saved his eye. Mordu is a 10-foot tall giant demon bear. He's got no eye in his one eye. It's glowing. You know why? Cause it's seasoned to people's souls while it devours them. That's how creepy it is. And it has spears in its back from 10,000 armies over centuries who've tried to kill it. He kills armies. Scar just kind of like plays with a mouse and goes, "Hey, what's up, mouse?" And mouse is like, "Whatever, man." look, there's no comparison there. Jeanette, look. Here's the thing: you're all about allies. Who's the ally of the villain? And Scar has, you know, some pretty wacky, zany hyenas who end up turning on him. So doesn't really have allies in the end. You know who Mordu's got? Nobody. You know why? He doesn't need nobody. He's a remorseless killing machine. And Miriam, I forget why you chose Facilier. So, you know, look, it's Mordu. It's great. Look, I don't have that good a memory, okay, folks? I'm still upset. Mourning that loss.
You know, on the hyena point, speaking of how we're judging, you know, we talk about it's the villains at the height of their power, and we talk about Scar was commanding this army of hyenas. We know that Shenzi, Banzai, and Ed are in a different category, and they're used and whatever, but it was an army of hyenas. There are three of those army. Does Scar have that army of hyenas?
Oh, you mean
because
more?
He was.
You know, you know what?
No, I mean Scar. Does he have all those?
Oh yeah, just minus Shenzi, Benzi, and Ed.
Just minus those three. That was at the height of his power. I'm just wondering.
So that's pretty tough then for Mordu, right? Because he'd have to face not only Scar, but an army of hyenas, is what you're saying?
And they are prepared.
Commissioner, we need speech.
I will accept that. I will accept it. I will accept that he has an army of hyenas. You know why? 10,000 armies have tried to kill Mordu, and they didn't succeed. And they're human beings with weapons. These are hyenas who just run around kind of going, "Oh, I guess I'll try and bite you."
Oh, so you don't watch National Geographic, which is on Disney Plus, huh? So here's the thing. Mordu is tired, bro. This is a bear that has, he's so tired, he can't even take the arrows out of his back. All he has to do is rub it against a tree, brah, 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 and they all break off. He's tired. Tired. You're trying to tell me at the height, at the pinnacle of Scar's power, he is leading legions of hyenas. Hyenas are vicious. They're ugly creatures, and they fight as ugly as they look, and they are ruthless. They will be with him day and night, whatever he needs, all right? And I'll tell you another thing. Scar, yes, he probably did wince to have the cool-looking scar on his eye, so his eye is intact, which means he can see his periphery. Guess what? Your bear can see in front of him to one side, and the other side is looking in a, is like on drugs, and it's just seeing delusions of grandeur. Okay? And another thing, you mentioned that, you know, Scar was playing mouse and just kind of playing with a mouse and just kind of hanging out. He was, because you know who else does that? A king. Why? Because a king sits on a throne and chills, okay? So when he was king, he didn't have to do anything. Did everything go sideways? You're not wrong, but guess what? He still was the king, okay? At the height of his powers. Oh, and also, who else had allies that turned on him? Folks, we know where this is going, okay? Caesar, all right? Caesar, okay? He led Rome, and his people turned on him too. Guess what? It happens to the best of them. And last but certainly not least, Miriam, you're great.
Gave you one round. You should be saying that to Chris.
I just want to keep in pace with what you just said. You know what I mean? Everybody's great on here. They know that.
Okay, gentlemen, do you think you've gotten everything out about how each of your villain will attack and defeat the other?
If a sane person came on and was judging, there would be no decision. They'd go, demon bear versus a ratty old lion? No problem. It's the demon bear. I have no idea how this is going to go, sir. That's the right thing.
All right. Well, why don't we get to the voting then? Unless the judges have any more questions for these guys.
Do you have a final say on that Hyena Army business, Commissioner?
I think it's out there in the ether. It's possible, but I feel like, I mean, it's again, it's a matter of opinion because I feel like you've already, if you're just looking at Height of Their Power, Height of Their Power Mordu has defeated armies with people. And I think they cancel each other out, if anything. Yeah. So, but if it moves you, then you, again, it's all on you. You decide. Any other questions for the gentleman? Okay, then let's get to it. And why don't we start with the We Like Theme Park squad? And we'll go in reverse order here. And let's start with Miriam. Miriam, a lot of compliments coming from both gentlemen towards you. who do you like here? Do you like Scar or Mordu?
I mean, Scar is really scary, but I do think a demon bear that eats babies would probably kill a skinny lion who doesn't want to do most of his own fighting. So I got to go with Mordu.
Good choice.
But I appreciate the compliments from both teams.
Well, keep them coming.
You're welcome.
Keep them coming. I think they're helping. That's 1 point for Mordu, the demon bear. And let's move over to Mark. Mark, who do you like in this one?
You know, Nigel makes this great point that I didn't think about, and it's that Scar can, like, the ability to speak. Nigel mentioned, and there's a cunning, there's a deviousness there. Mm-hmm. when Scar can speak. Also, Scar commanding a legion, having an army. You know, Marty talks about how, you know, Mordu is already, you know, faced all these armies. He has all these arrows in his back, and you know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like he's been weakened already. Sounds like he's taken a beating and he's tired. You know, he's bloody. He's got, you know, spears in his back. He's already fought all these armies. He's got to fight another bunch of a bunch of animals now. I don't know. I don't know that Mordu could really overcome the cunning and wit. It's like if this was Braun versus Braun, but it's not. It's all of their skills, right? And Mordu is a dumb bear with a lot of strength. And Scar is a strong, not as strong as Mordu, but a strong lion that has a lot of cunning and a lot of smarts. Having said that, Marty beat me that last round. And if Marty loses this, I will be so embarrassed. But my vote is for Marty.
It's another point for Mordu.
I really hate this bit, man. I liked it when it was, like, you know, when it went for me. But now that two of them have gone against me, don't like this bit, man.
I tell you, I didn't think I'd need this bit, but I need it and I'll take it.
All right. Well, that'll bring it to me. This is a tough one because I'm hearing Mark made some really good points there as well. It's the cunning. I mean, pound for pound physically, no way. Not even close. It's not a little bit. It's a ton, Mordu. And I don't buy that he's tired nonsense. I think that doesn't apply either. This guy's a demon. And it really comes down to what is that cunning? How is he going to manipulate? Because we know he's not going to be physical about it. It would have to be a trap, whatever it is, something like that. But you know what? When it comes down to it, the idea that he could speak and maybe manipulate, I don't think applies because this guy's a demon and relentless. There is no conversation. There is no intelligent banter. There's nothing. He's a relentless killing machine. I don't think Scar has a chance to even have a conversation. Mordu the demon bear for the third vote. And that will give the round to Martello Adams. Mordu the demon bear over Scar. But hey, let's find out what Tinker Jay and Rosie felt. Rosie, let's swing on over to you. How did you go on this one?
Well, I'm kind of in that same line where you were as far as exhaustion goes, but not for Mordu, but for Scar. I think that, yes, he could bring in legions of people to help him, but really ultimately the fight is between him and Mordu. And I don't think that he'd be able to hold up as long as he needs to in order to actually win the fight.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a good fight, but I just don't think he has the chops to keep up. It would end up being Mordu overall.
Another one for Mordu, Tinker Jay.
Originally, the whole hyena thing was going to sway me because I figured in numbers, because those armies were over time. It wasn't like all of them showed up at once, but they did have armor and they had weapons and they still died. So I probably would have gone Mordu.
A clean sweep. 5 straight votes for Mordu. Yeah, Marty, Marty's so desperate to brag. Go ahead.
Okay. Since this is a straight win, five judges none of them picked Scar. May I take two of those votes and
use No, the answer is no. The answer is no.
But they're for me. I can take them, right? And just use them for Iago later.
Still no.
Okay, cool.
Let's be fair. The only reason Mark voted that way, I mean, let's be fair.
You're not wrong, Jeanette. You're so
good. That's round two all wrapped up. It's a tie right here between Dis and the Boogity Knight squad 1-1. We're going to take a quick break and come right back for the next few rounds to determine who the winner is right here on the Disney Villains League after this. And we're back. It's round three of the Disney Villains League. And it's really terrible human people. And we've got Syndrome for Nigel and Claude Frollo for Marty. This is actually a rematch from last Villains League where I will say Bondo, me, had Syndrome going up against Marty and Claude Frollo. So I'm excited to see how this debate shakes down. Let's go right back to Marty. It's his turn with Claude Frollo. How is Claude Frollo going to defeat Syndrome?
Well, firstly, Chris, I just want to again say that was such a good match between you and I when you had Syndrome and I had Frollo. And I thought it was really close. I thought maybe Frollo just edged it out a bit. But might I say, you just played that so well. And, you know, I wanted to say that to you.
Thanks, you man. Feel bad about Thanks. It. When I lost? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, wow. All right. So let me tell you about old Claude Frollo. This guy is a narcissist. And any of you peeps out there who've dated a narcissist, you know that they don't just hurt you in the moment. They hurt you for years. This lives inside your brain, and it's hard to shake, folks. I ain't shake mine. I don't know how you feel. Oh, man, this is therapy. Okay, look. This guy is ultimate evil. He slaughters gypsies. He kills women if they don't sleep with him. He sings a song called Hellfire, and it's about burning a woman who, he's like, you know, if she can't be mine, she should burn in hell. And they actually allowed this to happen in Disney. This guy's creepy. This guy is a leader of people. And that's the worst kind. He's a religious zealot. So he has armies at his disposal because they'll all be doing things his bidding, all because of the name of Catholicism, for gosh sakes. Mm-hmm. And then you got Syndrome. So anyways, look, I mean, that's all I got to say, clearly. I will pick apart Syndrome, but I don't want to hurt Nigel. Look, he's still, that was a 5-0 round. That's rough. I love the guy. I'm not going to kick a guy when he's down. Who am I, Claude Frollo, kicking Quasi's mother to her death? No, I'm not. I'm not that guy. That's an evil guy, though, let me tell you. Oh. Pretty evil.
All right. Well, let's send that back over to Nigel. Nigel, give us a little something on Syndrome.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Is Marty done? Because I was pretending to see what it would be like if I wore hearing aids like an old man who got defeated by the Hunchback of Notre Dame. So I couldn't find the volume on that. Let's just take this back around to the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to quote someone. So let me tell you about my old friend Claude Frollo. Yeah, Marty, you said that. You already lost in your first sentence, bro. Who does that? Only the worst lawyers do that. Oh, I've got youth on my side. My boy's name is Syndrome, aka Buddy, or Buddy, aka Syndrome. It doesn't matter, because you know what? The scariest thing is not religion. It's an angsty white boy. It's like we're talking about apples and oranges here. You want to bring a gun to them? What are you doing, man? Like, there's no way that Claude is. What are we doing here? What are we doing? We're talking about a boy genius here. Yeah. Oh, sure. I get it. Claude seems like a bad man. He seems like a really bad man. Syndrome has thwarted the best heroes in the Incredibles universe, And guess what, man? He has all of their skeletons in a cave on his island. Are you kidding? He has an island, in case you didn't hear I said that. And he also kept the skeletons of those heroes. He has them. Mr. Incredible finds those heroes and he says, oh my gosh, all my friends are gone. Okay. Superman also wears an S on his chest, but Syndrome goes a step further and puts that S down his whole body. That's an aggressive costume. So if your old man wants to step up to youth, okay, and if he wants to bring religion into the mix and tell all this hoopla and get the, fine, you can do that. But you know what? I got technology. I got my own island. Syndrome, this really isn't going to be a fight. I mean, I'll probably take you out for a coffee after, maybe, I don't know, apple pie. Is that what old people like? I'm not sure what he's into. But,
cottage cheese. I would make sure. I think it's cottage cheese.
Cottage cheese. I would make sure to do it before 6 because he probably need to be in bed by 7. Okay.
Maybe. Okay, Nigel.
Syndrome for the win. Let's get out of here. What are we doing? What are we even doing?
Okay, I want to hear about this angsty white kid. What is he actually going to do to defeat Claude Frollo? Old man Frollo.
Listen. What isn't he going to do, bro? Claude doesn't know anything about technology, first thing. So first of all, he might die of a heart attack when he just sees Syndrome like shoot lightning out of his finger. So it might end that fast, okay? But if it doesn't, whatever Claude's got, I know, what the gift of gab, I guess, or he can talk a cool game in front of a candlelight, because I think during that era, that's all they had, you know. He probably send one of his androids after him. If he doesn't, he can do it himself. He can fly to him. He can lift him up with his laser finger and just like hold him in the anti-gravity just for a bit, toy with him, maybe monologue for sure. After that, he can just, you know, knock down a couple of buildings on top of him. Listen, I don't want to talk about killing an old man. Okay? So, you know? It is what it is. It is what it is. Let's go.
That's the best. Okay, I've laughed a lot. Marty, you've heard all of that. How is Claude Frollo going to even get a sniff at Syndrome?
You know what? I don't know. Guys, I just feel like maybe I should just give up this round. I don't think he can win. I mean, Nigel's right. He is all those things and so much more. And when he'd get in front of Claude Frollo with all his technology about to kill him, about to just smash his poor old cranium, all Claude Frollo can do is say, I love you and God loves you. And what's Syndrome going to do? Syndrome's going to go, wait, what is this? What are you saying? And Claude Frollo go, you're special. And he goes, excuse me? I just wanted someone to say that to me. And you're saying this to me? I will follow you through time and space, sir. Who do you want me to kill? And Claude Frollo goes, go kill some of them gypsies. Okay. And now he owns Syndrome. Why? Because that's all Syndrome wanted. Couple kind words. And then if all else fails, you know what'll happen? Claude Frollo will go, hey, Syndrome, yeah, okay, come kill me. Meet me by this old windmill over here. Meet me on the roof. And he'll go, oh, okay. So he gets there. And he goes, okay, you're clearly more powerful. Go ahead and kill me. All of a sudden, Claude Frollo brings out a little waving fan, waves it near his cape. The cape gets stuck in the windmill. And guess what? Syndrome's dead. Because that's how he died in the movie. His cape killed him. His cape, folks. It got stuck in a wind turbine, pulled in. He's like, oh my God, I'm dead. Because he's an idiot, folks. He's a jilted fanboy. Go to any Comic-Con, you'll find 80 of them. He's a redhead. Redheads aren't scary. I don't know why we're even having this discussion. His name's Buddy. His name is Buddy, folks. He's a buddy.
You know what? Listen, man, you're spitting facts. A lot of these things, they sound so true. Except, wait, how did Claude, how did he die? Do you remember, Marty?
Yeah, yeah. He was trying to kill people, and he could.
You're taking too long. Nobody remembers because nobody's watched the movie from.
That's not true.
Okay, love that movie. Movie's old, bro. The movie's old. Nobody cares about that. Oh, no. That movie.
Jeanette's wagging a finger at you, dude.
Don't go there, Nigel. Don't lose this round. Okay?
Yeah, this vote is getting flushed.
This is not me and you. This is me and Marty. This is me against Marty. Now it's gotten personal. Okay, he said Comic Con and. And that's when I lost it. For the record, you said that you can go to Comic-Con and you'll see 80 Syndromes walking around there. And guess what, man? You will, because those are loyal fans. They're dedicated to Syndrome. You just gave me that point in that fact, man. People dress like characters that they love and they appreciate. And guess what? Syndrome is that character. And also, yes, Claude would say some very nice, soothing words. Words that Syndrome probably wanted to hear, or Buddy at the time. But guess what? He wouldn't care if they came from you, because he was Incrediboy. He wanted to be Mr. Incredible Sidekick. He doesn't need to hear words from some weird stranger. You can say anything you want, but guess what? That kid's like, that's great. Thank you. Now, can you go tell Mr. Incredible so he can tell me? Because I want to be his sidekick. Okay. That's what we're talking about.
No, look, in early 1900s Paris, France, Claude Frollo was the Mr. Incredible of Paris, okay? Forget that. Thank you. His pulpit is where he fought justice.
That is a wild statement.
All right, we gotta move on.
We gotta. Now you chime in.
My goodness.
All right. We have to keep cruising. Judges, does anybody have any pointed questions for Nigel or Marty about this matchup?
No,
nobody.
I just personally attacked with the cottage cheese and early bedtime comment. That was.
I hear you. I also like cottage cheese. Oh, you put some canned peaches on those? We're in business.
Okay, let's get to voting. Let's start things off with Jeanette. It sounds like she knows what she's voting. Don't screw it up, Nigel. Seeker J, who's going to win this between Syndrome and Claude Frollo?
You got two people with fantastic outfits. Let me just start off by saying, just really from the head to the toe, it's just fabulous. But I think when you take a guy whose sole power depends on somebody basically having some sort of religious fervor and encounter a scientific man like Syndrome, who also, by the way, just has an island full of weapons. That's gonna shut that down really quick. So I'm going Syndrome. Sorry. There you go.
That's a point for Dis and Syndrome. Okay, let's keep things cruising. We'll fire right over to Rosie. Rosie, who do you like?
Syndrome.
Okay.
No, Marty. Just let it sink in.
Do you want to quickly tell us why?
Just the utility gauntlet weapons, the Omnidroids. I just think that he could get it done and get it done quickly.
Rosie, I hope you never encounter a narcissist. What they do to you destroys you, my body, mind, and soul. But I'm thankful you have that naivete, and I hope you never lose it, sir.
Okay, that is 2 points for Nigel, and I guess it's me voting next. And this is interesting because, again, only the last Villains League was I defending Syndrome going up against Marty and Claude Frollo, and I adamantly said this old man cannot defeat these machines, and Marty played the I love you boy card. And I lost. Well, it's nice how things turn around. Syndrome is going to wipe the floor with Claude Frollo in a snap of his fingers. He doesn't even have to be there. He'll send his machines and Claude Frollo will be like, huh? Smush. He's squashed. Yep. It is over. So let's just give this round to Nigel Downer. Thank you very much. Marty, come on. Wow. Okay. Well, let's find out how Mark and Miriam felt. Let's go to Mark. Who did you like in this one?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Point for nobody. Point for me. I'll take it. Miriam, who do you like here?
I
think that Claude Frollo would see all of Syndrome's weapons and immediately think he's a witch and pass away from a heart attack. So it's gotta be
Syndrome. That was the other way I was thinking. So like, or he's just scared to death.
So almost a clean sweep. Almost a clean sweep around. Wow, that's back to back. Yeah,
man. You know, usually what happens when someone has a clean sweep round, the next round the other person wins because the judges feel bad. So that's cool.
But when one judge doesn't pick one side or the other, I mean, that doesn't mean that person's feeling bad, right, Marty? So actually, it sounds like I might have got the harder win here.
Okay.
You know, let's revisit this round when one of you has been touched by a narcissist. I will beg my forgiveness, and I will say, of course.
This is Marty's new television show, Touched by a Narcissist.
The lovely Irish narcissist.
Okay,
for sure,
friends.
Be the sidekick in the third version of it. You know, Touched by a Narcissist 3.
Love it. Okay, friends, it's round 4. We're talking cruel cronies now. Can Nigel wrap this up for the win? Or does Marty have a life? It is Lock, Shock, and Barrel for Nigel. Facilier Shadow for Marty. Wow, this is way up. It's just up there. Who knows who can win this one? I think it's all in the debate. Let's go back to Nigel. Nigel, you've got Lock, Shock, and Barrel. They're three awesome, crazy kids. Tell us a little bit about them and how they're going to defeat Facilier Shadow.
You said it right there. These are three awesome, wacky kids. I mean, these kids are they're dubious, they're devious, they're maniacal. Listen, I want to give you the quick rundown. Locke, who wears the devil mask, Shock, who wears the witch mask, and Barrel, who, you know, who's a kid who wears a mask with too many teeth. Okay, so we know that. All right, so listen, it's like when, I don't even know how to describe this. It's like when you're in the middle of a merry-go-round and you don't want to be there and it just keeps going in a circle and you're trying to get out and it keeps going faster and faster and faster. That's what those three are like. They will surround you. And not only that, they have multiple weapons in their arsenal. And I'm not just talking about conventional weapons, right? Not like a gun or a bow and arrow. We're talking like a bathtub with a mouth, you know, or like a potion that can, that, you know, after it melts you, it'll speak, you know, it'll probably say a nice poem to you. Like, it's, these kids have these crazy, crazy weapons at their fingertips, and they will use them. These kids will use them. And you know what's even better is that they will sing about how they will use them to your face. They waste no time. Okay. They show up halfway through the movie. This is fact. We all know it. I said it before. I'm going to say it again. They show up halfway through the movie, specifically called by Jack for a top secret mission. That secret mission is to kidnap Santa Claus. What a dastardly, dastardly mission that is. And you know what? Those kids are down to party. Those kids are down. Now we're talking about kids that want to get Santa Claus. What kid wants to get Santa Claus? They want to get gifts from him. They don't want to put him in the sack. Okay. These kids feel no ways. All right. They're also known as the Boogie's Boys. Like, get, come on, man. Like, I mean, Boogie's Boys, that name is so cool. They might as well have been in hip hop in 1982. Okay. They might have been breakdancing on cardboard. All right. Listen, don't even break the shadow. Yes, I get it. You know, we talked about Facilier and he had a mighty win and now the shadow is here, but it's just a shadow. The three kids will figure something out. They've got potions and creatures. They will make it work. Sure, scare one of them, but there's still two more. There's still two.
Nigel, how are they going to figure it out? What are they going to do?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, first of all, we're talking about shadows, okay? Mm-hmm. Kids, the first thing that they actually realize is their shadow. And they want to figure out how shadows work. These three kids, they'll probably throw physical things against whatever wall, whatever surface the shadow is on. And that's not going to work. Where is it? But after that, they'll go to their book. They'll go to their book of names and their book of potions and their book of, you know, things. And they'll figure out how to defeat a shadow. They'll likely scare the shadow itself. They'll corner it. They'll scare it. And then they will capture it.
All right. Well, Marty, swing it on over to you, bud. Facilier Shadow, again, dark, mysterious, but these are three wily kids. Give us a Give us a lowdown on the Shadow and how it's going to find a way to destroy Lock, Shock, and Barrel.
Yeah, sure. No problem. Look, Nigel made a great point. These kids, they're going to try and figure out what to do and how to beat the Shadow. They're going to try all these things. They're going to go to the local library. They're going to take out a book. But first, they got to go through the whole rigmarole of here's my ID. Yes, it's up to date. Can I please take out this book? Oh, I forgot mine at home. Oh, do we all have to take it out at once? Can he just take it out? No, we all do have to. And while all that fun research is going on, the Shadow just goes, I know how to do my job. I take you and I drag you all to the underworld and you're dead. And you're still trying to figure out what's happening. What is happening right now, they say. Let's sing a song about it. What is happening? What is happening? We're being dragged to hell. Now we're dead. Now we're dead. No more song. Terrible. I lose this round, I swear to... Hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Nigel's right. They were tasked to go get Santa Claus, and they do get him. Oh, sorry. First, they got the Easter Bunny because they suck, and they screwed up. Oh, this isn't Santa Claus? Duh, me do bad. Then at the end, when they're like hanging out while Oogie Boogie's about to kill people, Jack shows up, and they go, oh, you know what? We should help him. We should help the hero. Let's go get the mayor to help the hero. Defeat the bad guy? Sounds like they're heroes to me and not villains. And after all, folks, this is the Villains League, is it not? I believe it is. And I just want to say, because Rosie made a great point when we last did this, that this Shadow belongs to the hoodoo and voodoo religion. It's creepy. So, so creepy. Mark said some cool stuff. I don't remember them, but just pretend I said them because they're real good. Maybe he'll say them again for me. And then, you know, no one beats the hoodoo voodoo religion. Look, these things are snot-nosed kids, hardly scary. They fight and argue with each other over little problems. They're screw-ups. What can I tell you? They're good. They're heroes. They're heroes at the end of it. So the Shadow is evil. And Facilier won. Facilier won. So why wouldn't his Shadow win?
Hey, man, we're past that. We're past that battle, bro. We're past that battle.
I'm still living there in my mind.
But you know what? You're right. You're right. The kids end up being some anti-heroes. Okay. And you know what? It's funny because you mentioned that they'll probably go to the library and find a book and do a lot of research. Man, they're kids. Man, they can't read.
Well, you're making my point for me. That's what they did.
I am making your point because guess what, man? They're not going to go there and read. It's all a facade. It's all a sham. Okay, the best part about them making the mistake of capturing the Easter Bunny first is that you don't know what they're going to do next. Man. These kids are X factors, bro. They mistakenly grab the Easter Bunny. It doesn't matter. It's still a holiday that is loved and cherished around the world in many places by many kids. And that Easter Bunny will not show up because it's hanging up on somebody's wall.
Look, this is the SME argument.
Marty, I'm not done. Because these kids are such X factors, the wild and craziest part is when that Shadow has them backed up in a corner and these kids look like they have nothing left to do. They have used all their creatures and all their spells. Man, all of a sudden they just turn on a light.
It's true, Nigel. They could do that. And then you know what happens in that corner behind them? The Shadow goes, oh, look, I can go here because I'm behind them. They're blocking the light. I am a Shadow. And then he takes them to hell. Thank you, Nigel.
No, they're already at Jack in the Box eating a combo, bro. Okay, they're eating an burger, having their best, living their best life. It is a Shadow, okay? These kids are so wily and so active that Shadow's not going to know who to hit first or who to take down first. You have the dark.
I mean, what's scarier than the dark, folks? Don't tell me you all didn't have nightlights. Haven't encountered narcissists. Don't have nightlights when you're a kid. Who are you people?
Okay, judges, do you have any questions for these guys?
I don't think so, no.
No, okay.
No.
Okay, this is a big round. We're going to start with Miriam. Lock, Shock, and Barrel versus Facilier Shadow. This is for, could be all the marbles. Who do you like?
I mean, these were some very evil kids. I was almost swayed, but a Shadow, especially one that is from voodoo and hoodoo, dragging them to the underworld is pretty compelling. So I'm going to go with Facilier Shadow.
1 point for Facilier Shadow. 1 point for Marty. This moves us over to Mark. Mark, who do you like here?
Yeah, Facilier Shadow is, you know, scary and all that stuff. And both these competitors make great points.
Yeah.
Right. Lock, Shock, and Barrel, there's a numbers game there. There's three of them, right? So, Nigel, you did mention the light, which was also an argument I made against Marty, where you can turn on a light, and Marty was like, oh, they'll just move, but there's three of them. So now there's three light sources that this Shadow is going to have to worry about, right? Yeah, there's a lot of points on both sides here. But again, I did lose to Marty that last round. And as embarrassed as I would be if Marty lost, I hate Facilier Shadow so much. So much.
I can't believe you're going to do this.
The thing is, Facilier Shadow should never have beaten Smee. Smee is chaotic evil.
We're back on Smee.
Chaotic evil. Smee. So here's as the judge on this.
I wish you guys could see the body language from Mark.
Here's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying Smee's chaotic evil enters this fight.
Yeah.
Teams up with Lock, Shock, and Barrel.
No.
And defeats Facilier Shadow. Point. Point for Nigel.
Oh my goodness. I didn't see that. I thought there was a twist.
That's it. Facilier Shadow gets dragged to the underworld with Peter Pan's Shadow, and the two of them can live happily ever after in defeat.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, friends. A point from Nigel. Unfortunately, what the judges say goes. Peter Pan's Shadow jumps into the fray somehow.
Smee. It was Smee. Smee gets his win back here.
Right. All right, that'll bring it to me with my vote. This is a tough one. I'm really struggling with this one. I think we established in the Mark Marty matchup that light produces shadow. So throwing the light does nothing. It really creates more shadows. So with that in mind, I don't know what the kids are going to do to defeat Facilier Shadow. But I'm with Nigel in the sense that these kids are wily, man. Like, they would figure something out. But again, I kind of drew a line in the sand at the beginning, and I have to stick with it. I think undead beats living. I'm going to go with Facilier Shadow for my point.
Wow.
It's a tough one. It's such a tough one.
I question, Chris, whether or not Lock, Shock, and Barrel are living.
Me too.
I was going to ask, because I don't know if it's confirmed, but I think they're supposed to be deceased trick-or-treaters.
Are they deceased
kids? They all have that power.
They should be, because they're the boogeyman's minions, right? So, I mean.
Yeah. Well, what a way to find
whatever.
Out.
And then what's this? He's like, Jack's so happy because absolutely nothing is dead in Christmastown.
Right. That's right. So yes, that's right. So that they would be dead. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I already made the vote. So there you go. The rules, man. I made the rules.
Is it possible? Can I make a request?
No, Marty, you can't.
That okay. Jeanette goes last because I don't think she likes me. And I'd rather.
Marty, with all due respect, so very few people like you. So.
I know. I think you swayed her. I think somehow Mark sent her like a Facebook private message saying, let's take
just
this
so
guy
you
down.
Know, the Saw movies are some of my favorite movies, and I was on your side.
Marty, stop digging that hole, buddy.
I can sign you a headshot and write something witty on it if you'd like.
That's awful.
This is a tough one. I just don't know what these kids would do. I don't know what they would actually do. So I had to go with the Shadow. But let's move on. It's Rosie. It's 2-1 for Marty in this matchup. Rosie, this is probably the hardest one so far. Lock, Shock, and Barrel versus Facilier Shadow. Who do you like?
I agree with you, and I was also on the fence, but really what sold it was Mark's passion. I wish you could have seen how energized he was when he was giving his speech here, y'all. That really sold me over to the side. I think the trio, the numbers, could probably outdo that shadow, even if the shifting shadow. I think you have those three little wily kids that could just keep it going and potentially make it work for their favor. And especially in the environments that they're in with all these little potions and little things that are, you know, out and about, who knows? Like, you know, like, I think they really could lean towards their favor. Lock, Shock, and Barrel.
Boom. Tied at 2. This brings it all to you, Jeanette. You're the tiebreaker. You have an opportunity to make Nigel the Disney Comedians champion. to move on to the finals, or we're going to move on to round five with a point for Marty Adams. It's Facilier Shadow versus Lock, Shock, and Barrel. Tell us what you're feeling and who you're voting for.
Before, if I may, I just want to say I have so many stories from being on set, and I actually have a couple of props from the film. Oh, man, just burning a hole in my closet. Oh, man.
Anyways. That's crazy, because that was such a long time ago. I mean, if you want to see me being a ghost that died of cholera, you can just watch CBS right now. In 2021. Thank you.
It is well over a decade. I am alive.
We still love you, Marty. All right, Jeanette.
So this, let me preface, this has zero to do with the human combatants and everything to do with the cinematic combatants.
Okay? I don't like where this is going.
So I feel like Lock, Shock, and Barrel work for the Shadow. Like, he is the shadow in the moon. That is his job. All right, one of his jobs in Halloween Town is the shadow in the moon. So they know how to deal with a shadow.
And they betray him. Go ahead.
Marty.
They know how to deal with shadows. Their biggest part of the movie is them literally going through different ways to do something and then figuring out how to do it. Like, that's their whole thing, is them doing that. And there's three of them, Lock, Shock, and Barrel.
That's the vote. That's it. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Nigel Downer is our Disney Comedians Villains Champion and will be moving on to the finals against either Miriam Kenley or Gene Manny. Wow, what a matchup. Nigel, you're the winner, buddy. How's it feel?
Listen, I feel like a million bucks. Marty, man, you suck, man. Okay? Like, No.
You gave this man a podium, people.
No. Listen. This was fantastic. I honestly had the best time. I think my favorite round was definitely the first round. Just beating Marty with Facilier and just how it stuck with you for the rest of the pod. Oh, I mean, that really got to you, bro.
You know why it got to me, Nigel? Because the whole thing about fantasy leagues in sports is,
oh boy,
oh man, this person took this person and now I'm screwed. My team's screwed. And I did that to two people. And it helped nothing for me. I could have just picked anyone.
So you learned your lesson.
Next time, I'm just going to literally spin a random, dial and just kind of go, oh, this one? Okay, cool.
No, you won't, Marty, because that's not you. You won't do that. I will tell you this, though. I will tell you this for anybody listening. Well, for everybody who is listening, Marty and I will be going head-to-head in fantasy football this week. So even though I beat him this week, we'll see what happens on Sunday. And you know what, y'all? You will hear about it one way or
another. You take this one, Nigel. I'll take the one that actually has money on the line.
Quickly, Marty, I would like to extend an invitation for you to be a judge on the Villains League final when Nigel is still fighting toe-to-toe. Will you accept that invitation?
Oh, I accept. Oh, man. I'm telling you now. And I hate Gene. And I love Miriam. So here's the thing. If Miriam goes to the finals, you ain't getting a vote. If Gene makes it to the finals, my spite knows no bounds, none at all. They better have 10 judges for the finals. That is the only way.
Well, congratulations again to Nigel. Nigel Downer is our Disney Comedians Division champion. Way to go, man. Fantastic work. You're 2-0, and we're excited to listen to the Disney Villains League final. And stick around with the We Like Theme Parks podcast. We have our next semifinal coming up, and it's going to be from our Disney Bloggers division. And again, that's Miriam Kenley and her squad, Miriam's Malevolent Meanies. I say,
come on.
What is it? Off the top of your head, what is it again? Wow.
Masterminds, why are that's you even hosting?
I don't know. I would invite you to host the next Villains League. I would be happy to just show up and say stuff. That'd be way more fun.
Hey, Chris, are you going to be judging that round of Miriam's?
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe. I'm a maybe. Well, it depends. Now that we're moving to
that button.
Now that we're moving to five, yeah, good point, Marty. Now that we're moving to five judges, we'll see. But she will be going head to head with Jean, who Marty mentioned. No love lost there. But do check out that final. And then the actual finals of the whole thing will be happening right at the top of January. Our first episode back after our, we take a little break. We take a January break every year. So look for us for the finals in mid-Jan. But we still have one more Villains League to go before then. All right, friends, we went really long on this one, but I just want to say thanks to everybody. What an amazing show today. Everyone was fantastic. And I want to thank you guys at home for tuning in. If you had a good time, hit us up, rate, review, subscribe. Why not, right? It's Christmas. You feel festive. Hit the button. Tell somebody about it. You know how this works. You can hit us up anytime if you want to say hello or you got a segment idea. What's up at welikethemeparks.com. You can always find us goofing around on Instagram at We Like Theme Parks. And finally, we're on the Magic of the Mouse Radio every Monday, Wednesday, Fridays at 5, noon on Sundays. Our music, it's that guy, Mike Treblecock. You can check him out at
MikeTreblecockMusic.com.
Yeah, check him out there. All right, a big thank you. Let's go around the horn. I want to start with thanking our great friend from We Like Theme Parks, the Puppets Judge. This is Mark Rosie Rosales. Mark, thank you so much for joining us today. You were awesome.
Thank you for having me once again, y'all. I really enjoyed today. It's been a blast, and I look forward to seeing how this all plays out. But again, I want to make sure that both Nigel and Marty know that this little meet that we had today was one that I had on my calendar, literally on my calendar. And it delivered everything that I expected it to deliver. So thank you very much.
That's awesome. Those are some kind words from Rosie after you got spanked, Marty. Oh, wow.
Wasn't going to win with Iago anyway.
Wasn't looking good. Really quickly around the horn, who do you like better, Diablo or Iago? Rosie, who did you like?
I really like Diablo.
Yeah?
I'm really kind of going for that kind of dark, menacing feel.
Jeanette?
Diablo.
Yeah, Mark?
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, Miriam?
Diablo.
Yeah, I was also Diablo.
Oh, wait, Nigel had Diablo. Yeah. Diablo.
Okay. Wasn't looking good anyway, Marty.
Wait, can I just say real quick?
Yeah, you I'm trying to do the outros, but yeah, go ahead.
Real quick, though. So Mark almost beat me by creating this crazy story, right? So I had this whole crazy story about Diablo and Iago. You'll never hear it because we didn't get there. But it might have swayed some votes, probably not Jeanette's. Anyways, good night, folks.
It could have. It's the Villains League and anything can happen. If Smee had a prayer, I bet you Iago did. So, okay. Hey, Rosie, where can everybody find you and what do you got going on?
Oh, well, of course, you can find me at We Like Theme Parks Puppets, where I'm doing the drops of each of these episodes. Also, Disney Park Mark, where I'm going to start getting back out and doing some traveling into the Disney parks. So find me there, follow me there, like and comment.
Do all those nice things. Another big thank you to an amazing judge. It's our great friend, Tinker J. Jeanette, where can everybody find you? What do you got going on?
TinkerJ787 on Instagram. Not a ton right now other than just holidays. I'm sure I'll have some Disney baking up there. And then we are due back in the parks at the end of January, beginning of February. I will see Miriam there and Amelia.
Well, thank you again, Jeanette. It's always awesome to have you.
Thank you. It's always so much fun.
Right? Right? It is a good time. It is fun to come here. And let's give a big shout out to our competitors. First to Marty Adams. Always a pleasure to have you. Fan favorite. And we appreciate you coming today. Where can everybody find you or not find you?
Yeah, because you know I'm not on Instagram and my Twitter. I don't tweet anything because I worry people will think I'm stupid. what are those things? I never plug anything. You know this, great. But I feel like people don't think I've worked since 2007's sophomore. So I will say that you can find me on Disney Plus in Home Sweet Home Alone.
Oh,
where I play a character whose name on IMDb is Annoying Passenger, but I had a name for him. It's real good. I won't say it here. But just to let you know, that scene was entirely improvised. So when you watch it, just know we didn't know what we was doing, but we made it up. And so now you have a little extra tidbit into that.
Oh my goodness. Hey, Marty, you know, we do the 12 days of Christmas every year, and one of the episodes for the 12 days is a review of Home Sweet Home Alone. Maybe we have to drag you back on for that for some insider details.
Yeah, but just don't drag me through the mud and go, Marty, why did this? Why did they do this? Why did they do that? I just showed up one day. The director called me Mark, and I said, this is going to be a good day. True story. But that guy is the most amazing director, one of the best directors I ever worked with. He was awesome. So in case he's listening, I need work again.
And what was it, and what was his name?
Dan. Dan Mazur. I think that's right. Or Mazur. I don't know. Maybe he's got a, maybe there's an accent degu or a umlaut in there. I don't know.
And a big, big thank you to our Disney Comedians Division champion, Nigel Downer. Nigel, thank you so much. And dude, congrats.
Woo-hoo. Thanks, man. Thank you. What a blast. Guys, I had such a great time. I can't even... I'm smiling from ear to ear. Obviously, listeners, again, I love my descriptions of things that we can see, but you can't. you know, shout out to the judges, obviously, the panel. And listen... Marty, you did a great job, bro. Like, that was a lot of fun. I can't wait till we can see each other face to face, and I'm cosplaying as Syndrome. Anyways, I just want to say you can find a brother on Instagram. That's where I'm most active. I haven't been as much as I wanted to, but I will jump right back in there at Nigel_Downer. I love posting fun pics. And you know what? I might just post pics of my villains that are winning me these wins. I think I might take some screen grabs and do some edits because I'm a graphic designer as well. I'm on the Twitter at Nigel Downer. Don't tweet a lot, but I do engage. So reach out, man. And all your We Love Theme Parks fans out there that have reached out via Instagram. And thank you guys. You guys have been great. This has been a great community to jump into. I made some amazing friends. So it's great that I'm going to carry on this journey and go to the championship where Marty will be not participating.
Oh, I'll be participating, Nigel. I'll be a judge. How do you like them apples? Poison apple. Oh, callback to a villain. Oh, you're in trouble.
I cannot wait for this.
Nigel, you deserve to win. You did.
Thanks, bro.
You guys were both tremendous. So check out Nigel. Don't miss Bit Players on Prime and Ghost on CBS. Two amazing shows featuring Nigel. And don't miss Home Sweet Home Alone featuring Marty Adams. Very exciting. Everybody's working. This is fantastic, right? All right. Well, hey, for Marty, for Nigel, for Rosie, for Miriam, for Mark, for Jeanette, I'm Chris. That's all, folks. We'll see you real soon. Why? Because we like you. And
we like theme parks.
And Dr. Facilier.
Bye.